You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Hillary Clinton will reportedly give up the personal email server she used while Secretary of State. To this point, she had refused demands from congressional committees to turn over the server to a third party.
Her unique email arrangement is interfering with our ability to find out what happened to the four murdered Americans in Benghazi.
That was South Carolina Congressman Trey Gowdy. He says his primary concern is the investigation into Benghazi, and he will let other people decide if any laws were broken.
I'm going to let other folks figure out potential criminal conduct, and I'm going to let other folks like Chuck Grassley and Devin Nunes figure out the classified information part of it.
Gowdy appeared in a Fox News interview. New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell have arrived at a courthouse in Manhattan for a hearing on their ongoing dispute over the underinflated football scandal. At issue is whether Goodell was justified in suspending Brady four games for his role. Brady says the NFL has no proof he was involved. Goodell accuses Brady of destroying his cell phone. Gas pumps could be a target of cybercrime. Two security researchers recently uncovered the breach. They say gas pumps have monitoring systems connected to the internet that are used to track things like fuel levels. But the researchers found that a lot of these systems are not password protected, so they're easy targets. They say a hacker could change the tank's overflow limit to beyond its capacity and trigger an overflow and possible explosion. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
Okay, and good afternoon, and welcome to Modern Design 2. My name is Rich Scuderi, and I have a guest caller on the line. His name is Jerry from Hyonis Greenhouses, and today we're having a little bit of a special show. We're going to be talking all about landscaping and your garden. Jerry, do I have you on the line?
Yes, you do, Rich, and I want to thank you for having me on.
Okay, terrific. All right, we're gonna take some time to do some station information. And we'll be back a little bit with Jerry, and he's our guest from Hyonis Greenhouses. So, here we go with Modern Design 2.
Now they can't hear me now, Rich, correct?
You're on. All right, welcome to Modern Design 2. Today we have our guest. His name is Jerry, and he's with Hyonis Greenhouses, but we're going to start by doing the weather. And it says that this afternoon, not hard to tell, that it's mostly sunny with a high of 82 degrees. Tonight it'll be mostly clear with a low of 58 degrees. On Thursday, we're going to have sunny skies with a high of 81. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of 55. On Friday, it says it's going to be sunny and beautiful with a high of 87. And it looks like we're going to have a continued good run of weather throughout the weekend. So I'm very excited about that, as are you, Jerry, because I would think good weather would bring people out to you.
That it does. The horticulture industry is a weather-related industry. Sunshine tends to bring the customers out and gets them out in their yards and to garden.
Okay. Well, Modern Design is all about, it's a relatively new program. We started in January. It's all about your home, improving your home. It's sort of Hunterdon-centric, but we've gotten callers from Australia. In fact, I'm going to be doing a radio show. I'm going to be visiting as a guest on one of a radio show in Australia because an Australian listener listened to my program. So it really affects people all around the world. So we try to be a little bit more general in some of our descriptions, depending upon what zone they're in and what we're working on. But I think a lot of things are global now, and I think a lot of things in general about fashion and design, follow through with gardening as well. And a lot of my clients, you know, get their outside of the inside of their house home. We do the colors outside and the shutters and the, and then it comes down to the landscaping. That's really the jewels, if you will. That's sort of the jewelry on a house, and that sort of finishes things off, don't you think?
Correct. I believe so, yes.
Well, I thought your story is kind of an interesting one, and that's what I want. I was very anxious to get you on as a guest, and I know you guys are in season. You're busy right now, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk and listen, to have our listeners hear what you have to say. Because I didn't know about you. I've been out in Hunterdon County in Tewksbury Township for 15 years, and I've gone, you know, the roots of some different garden centers and been happy with that. But then one of my neighbors had stumbled upon you, and I just assumed that your facility was just for other commercial growers, that the public couldn't go there. And I was amazed at the quality of the plants and the variety. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the name of your company, where you're located, and how you guys got started.
Okay. Well, so the name of our company is Hyonas Greenhouses. We're located in 4 Coddington Road in White House Station, New Jersey. It's a family-owned and operated business. Basically started from our father back in 1975, who migrated from a little island from Greece, started working at a greenhouse, and basically took over, and it's been in the family ever since. At the present time, we are roughly around, we're just finishing an expansion. We're going to be about 10 acres of indoor greenhouses.
It's amazing. I mean, you could really sit there all day or stand there all day and look around. It's hard to get your body sometimes down those long aisles because there's so many, you know, there's so much to choose from.
Yes, that's true. I mean, we do grow everything in-house. We grow everything from little seedlings to cuttings. It's a 365 days a year operation. So we are constantly getting ready for the next season. At the present time, we are just about starting fall sales.
Right.
And we are finishing up planting Christmas poinsettias.
Oh, you're kidding me. Wow. So you do everything from seed yourself there. That's pretty wonderful, or from plant, I guess. My thought was, because I just saw a little sign off Route 22 in the eastbound lane that you were there. Do you sell primarily to big commercial organizations, companies, or is it a mix of the public and both?
It's very diversified.
Okay.
We do sell to the public. That is a portion of our business.
Okay.
So we do allow homeowners to come to our main site and White House Station to shop through a portion of the greenhouse.
And you're not far. You're just off the beaten path a little bit, I think.
Yes, we are off of Route 22 about a few thousand feet off the highway. You cannot see us, but we do have a good reputation. A lot of our business comes through word of mouth.
Right.
And the reason why we're off the beaten path is originally our business was just to the trade, to other commercial customers.
But right.
Around 8 years ago, we decided to open up to the public.
And I'm glad you did, because there was quite a variety there. To let you know, I guess I dealt with Tim. Is that your brother or?
Yes, it's,
okay.
Tim is my brother's family business of 4 brothers total that we're all in the business.
Right. Okay, terrific. So I dealt with Tim, and he helped me with my plants. And one of the things that comes up as a question, I do to let you know that I do 2 shows here on Wednesdays. I do Modern Design, which we were going to do this morning, which is more of an interview show, where each week I take a Hunterdon County business related to design or your home, and I interview them and talk about what they do and let our listeners know of, you know, good resources in our area. And the afternoon show is a more of an interactive show where people call in and ask me design questions. And I would say there's not even a show yet on Design Dilemmas, the afternoon show, where at least 2 of the callers were asking about plantings in our zone, and also plantings that are deer resistant. So I'm going to go to that first, because that's probably my biggest question for clients. They'll come to me and they'll want me to oversee or give a general idea, my vision of their space, their outdoor space as well. And I say one thing is that there's no point in investing any money in plantings if they're not going to survive. So can you give us some general suggestions for our general area about what plants, both base plantings or, you know, just in general, what works for you as far as being somewhat deer resistant? I know nothing is completely deer resistant, especially with the when the young ones are born, because they seem to eat everything. But what's your life experience on the so many of my clients in Hunterdon and in New Jersey in general are basically become even more of a deer run. So what do you suggest, and then what do you recommend for plantings?
Okay, so my recommendations, basically, I don't listen to anything that is tagged deer resistant. It's like you just said, it's basically field tested.
Right.
I deal with a lot of landscapers, so I always communicate with them and get feedback from them.
Right.
So my suggestions, from what I've heard in the last 2 to 3 years, deer tolerant, but just like we said, deer proof doesn't exist.
Well, it doesn't exist. You're right.
It doesn't exist.
Right.
In the annual family, I'll start off with annuals and some basic perennials.
Okay, go slow because we're all writing this down, because you know this is like gold to us. So
yeah, I understand. Okay. And like I said, this is all field tested with landscapers and corporate sites and residential sites.
Right.
The number one annual that the deer just tend to stay away from, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, is vinca flower.
Vinca, yes. I really like vinca. You know, I think a lot of vinca is misdiagnosed, if you will. A lot of people think it's other things, because I've seen it and stuff, and people say, oh, that's, you know, so-and-so. Or sometimes people think it's an impatient, and impatients get, like, devoured by deer.
Correct.
So, but there's a big difference. Why do you think that the vinca don't get eaten by the deer, but the impatients do?
You know, there hasn't been an exact reason why. I attend a lot of trade shows, you know, and they do a lot of research on it.
Right.
And just, they really haven't come up with why they eat certain plants and not others. It just seems to be one of those things where the deer just keep moving past them, and they just tend not to touch them.
And I will see, you know, in my gardens, in my clients' gardens, where it's sort of like a kid, on their dinner plate. Well, they will walk around beautiful flowers they don't like to get to the flowers they do like. So I think that's part of it, too.
That is true. And believe it or not, sometimes deer get attracted by certain colors of flowers. They'll touch one color, and they won't go after the other color. So each plant is unique in its own way for these deer, and we still haven't figured out what their reasoning is for what they eat.
Is there a color that they're more or less attracted to in general, or is that specific to maybe what that...
I have a feeling it's not the color per se, it's more of the varieties.
Okay.
For instance, like mums.
Right.
Me personally, I had issues where they were eating my and I'm talking about the hardy mums.
Right.
My yellows, but they wouldn't touch my reds or oranges.
Huh.
For some reason, they just enjoyed that yellow variety.
I wonder if the different varieties have a different aroma to them also, or?
Well, each variety and each color is its own species, so I'm guessing that each plant has its own taste for the deer.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you a question about vinca, because I'm very interested in right now. I'm having a lull in my garden, and I don't know if any of our listeners out there have this. I always get to the point where I'm in the beginning of August, and some of the stuff has died off, and some of the stuff hasn't bloomed yet, and I have that sort of in-between right now. And some of my my pots, I have a lot of pots, have dried out a little bit, and I have an area that I need to replace stuff now. And people say, why would you replace it? I like things in my pots. So actually, I was going to come into you, and I can't believe you started with vinca, and to see if you had some vinca so that I could throw that in my pots near my garage, which often do have deer sometimes around. Can you still purchase vinca? Do you have vinca out there now?
We're actually towards the tail end of vinca flower.
Right.
We're actually gearing up for the fall season, so the chrysanthemums are available.
Right.
Different perennial grasses, celosias, things like that.
Now, does vinca require full sun, part sun, or shade?
Now, vinca flower, you want to put in full sun. The more sun it gets, the better it does. A lot of people tell me, and I can tell you for this year exactly, the vinca in the full sun is doing very well for customers.
Right.
But anyone that plants it in the shade, they're telling me their vinca is not looking so good. It's a little chlorotic. It looks yellow. Just not thriving. So in any case, try to put it in the most sun, and they'll do very well for you throughout the summer.
Okay, so vinca's one of us that's somewhat, what was it, deer tolerant. I like that word, deer tolerant. What would be a second one?
Another one that people will put is, and again, some people have luck with it, some people don't, coleus, that's a nice option for shade.
Right.
Some people have some good luck where the deer will tend to stay away from the coleus.
And the coleus is beautiful. For people that don't know what it is, that's that beautiful foliage that has like the purples and the greens and really beautiful. You describe it probably better than I do.
It's more of a foliage plant. It does have a flower, but it's very minuscule the flower.
Doesn't it get like a minuscule sort of purple flower, actually?
It depends on the variety. Some have purple, some have like a lighter pink, depending on the color. There's many varieties, many different shades.
Right.
It's a great plant for the pots.
Right.
And also for the beds.
Jerry, I'm going to have to break for a minute for commercial. Will you stay with us?
Sure.
Okay, terrific. We're going to take some commercials, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design 2, Design Dilemmas.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Rich Scuderi. I do Modern Design on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 and Modern Design 2 from 2 to 3. And I'm very lucky to have as my guest today, very excited about it personally, Jerry from Hyonas Greenhouse. Are you still with us, Jerry?
Still here.
Okay, terrific. And what we were doing is probably, again, the number one question my clients have when we were dealing with outside before we go to invest in our gardens is plants that are deer tolerant. So we had one was the vinca, which is full sun. Two was the coleus, which is full shade. What else can you recommend?
Another one that my landscape contractors have luck with is ageratum. That's another full sun plant.
I'll tell you, I bought flats of ageratum from you, and most of my garden, I'm in Tewksbury Township, and I really have a deer run. I have about 6 acres, and I just get wiped out. I really liked petunias for a very long time because the smell of a petunia can be really quite beautiful. But they would be great for 6 weeks, and then one day I'd come home and I'd have no flowers, and all the flats, all that money would just be thrown away, and there I would be in the first week in August with no plants. But a couple of years ago, I experimented with a little bit of ageratum, and I saw this little dinky flower, and I thought to myself, this is never gonna amount to much. But much to my surprise, not only did the deer not eat it, but it really developed. It really thrived in the environment. It got bigger. It almost had like a rose-like quality in the flower. The flower got bigger, and it became something in a pot with a spike and some trailing things. It became really quite beautiful, and I tend to like purples in my garden. My house is pale yellow clabbered, so I like to do purples and yellows and whites. I like that color palette, and ageratum is exceptional. It seems impervious to almost anything. Have you had personally good experience with that? I bought all my ageratum from you guys.
I appreciate that. And the ageratum is one of those plants that not many people know about it.
No, they really don't.
And we try to educate people. It doesn't have that appeal that, you know, like you said, the petunias and the impatience that people are well known for. Ageratum is one of those where in the beginning it doesn't look like much, but yeah, if you give it some a chance and let it grow, it really blossoms to be a great border plant in your yard, and the deer don't touch it.
Yeah, you're quite right, because it's very, when you go to tell you the truth, when you go to look at it in the, you know, in the garden center, including your garden center, it looks very uninteresting, and people have these baskets full of beautiful flowers, and I have these like little flat nothings, but they really turned out to, you know, they just they just grew, you know, with not much maintenance, with not much care, and they just expand and they become, when they're all done together in the same color in the same pot, they become something quite beautiful. And I've had nothing but, I'm afraid to say it, nothing but success with them, and the deer just don't go near them. I mean, they just don't go near them. So ageratum is great. And now ageratum comes in a lot of colors. I see it, they mostly call it blue, but the blue to me looks quite purple.
That is true. The most popular variety is called Hawaii Blue,
right?
Which is looks like a purple. There is other colors, but that is the hardiest variety in the ageratum family.
Yeah, well, that's good to know too, because I've seen white ageratum, but like you say, I didn't see as much success with that as I did with the Hawaiian Blue.
Like I said earlier, each plant, it might be the same plant, but different color, but each color is its own variety, and you know, in my field, we study this and. You know, one color could thrive much better than the other.
Isn't that strange? You know, and I find that with a lot of other plants. Now, I see that also in things like azaleas and rhododendrons. I notice that different color, even if they're right next to each other in the same soil and the same environment, different color rhododendrons will bloom at different times and different azaleas will bloom at different times. Is that also true?
That is true.
Yeah. So there is a differentiation by size, just the color, I guess, some chemistry of the plant, I guess, if for lack of a...
Exactly. Each variety, each color has its own, basically, a flower initiation, so they might flower at different dates, you know, depending on weather temperature and basically the lighting that it's getting.
Right. Now, but when we did a pre-phone call, when I first contacted you and we were talking about going on the air and passing on, not only that your organization, your company is a great resource for our listeners in the area, but also what you do. Now, you specialize more in annuals, or more you personally, or more in the perennial family.
Well, for the company, I'm the grower for the. My main expertise is annuals, and we do basic perennials. We don't get involved with an extensive line of perennials, but we do a lot of basic salvia, hosta. You know, just more of a bigger scale for like landscape planting that you see in a lot of commercial sites.
Here's a question that I have for you, and I notice this all the time, and sometimes I get jealous of this. I always find that the big commercial landscapers always get the best plants. When you go to these corporations, their beds are always, they seem to have the best flowers, the best everything. Is that because they get first pick at everything?
To be honest with you, we work with a lot of landscape contractors.
Oh, I know you do. I know you supply a lot of them.
We do, and we actually, it's an all-year-round program. We actually don't always communication with them.
Right.
And they actually, we put the orders in January, so we know all their sites.
Right.
Me personally, I go to a lot of their sites. We check, we look at the areas, and we pick the right plants for the right area, and they're all pre-ordered, so we know exactly how many plants. It's nothing on spec, so there is a lot of organization and planning when they do those jobs.
So it's probably better managed, and it's been studied over time. So that's the reason. Because I'll say, damn it, I'll go down 22 and I'll see some corporate offices. I'm like, they have the best plants I've ever seen. You know,
right.
And you go in people's gardens for the most part. You know, it's catch as catch can. Sometimes you have some good stuff, and sometimes you have some bad stuff. So we have three so far. Ageratum, and then what else can you recommend as far as lack of deer buffet that we can use for
another one? If we go into the perennial family, so we're not all on annuals, is dianthus is a great deer tolerant plant.
Okay, so dianthus is a perennial.
It is.
And it's you can tell I'm writing while I'm talking, right? And don't they also call that bachelor buttons?
I believe so.
Okay. So, but dianthus really, because it's a perennial, it has a short time around, doesn't it? When does it usually bloom?
Depending on the variety, usually early spring. Majority of perennials only tend to bloom for about a month or two, depending on which perennial.
Right.
So that's why I always recommend to people, you know, mix it up in your garden. You know, plant some perennials and also put annuals in front of the perennials. That
right.
way you have color all year round.
Exactly. Is there ever a formula, or maybe just even your own garden in your own home, that you like to do? Like, do you like to do an 80-20 mix? I mean, I tell people, I mean, there are people that, neighbors of mine, that only buy perennials, that they're not going to spend any money in annuals. And they've gotten so good at it that they try to time everything that something is always in bloom in the garden. But the good thing about perennials is that you have an investment that's always going to come back as long as the winter doesn't kill it. But the bad part is it has its little short life, and then you're waiting all year. It's like, you know, getting peonies, and for 3 days they're gorgeous, then it rains, and then, oh, see you next year. You know, so there's that sort of mix. Is there a mix that you like to recommend for people having in their garden?
I don't have an exact mix. Like you said, there's people that basically have it down to a science of when they'll be timed correctly.
Right.
The key is, and just from the garden center, people coming in, I do have a lot of customers that say, I only plant perennials. And believe it or not, a year or two later, they come back in and they go, you know what, I need to put some annuals because I had that period of time where I had no color.
And also, what are you going to put in your pots? You can't put annuals in your pots all the time. They're going to get too big, right?
Correct.
Right. All right, what else can you recommend or that you've had good experiences with?
Salvia is another one that you pretty much see in everyone's yard.
I have some questions about salvia, if you don't mind, and I appreciate you being so gracious. We had sort of a general outline for today, but I'm now going through specifics, so we didn't pre-rehearse these questions, so I appreciate you being. Salvia confuses me. I like salvia. I think it's beautiful. It comes in a variety of colors, but there's different kinds. Isn't there like a perennial salvia and also an annual salvia? I'm very confused about salvia.
Salvia, yeah, there is a perennial and annual salvia.
Okay.
The perennial salvia, it tends to bloom early spring, then blooms out, and then if you actually cut it back, you can get a second bloom out of it in the season.
Oh, you can.
So that's one thing that people don't realize. Some people kind of let it just bloom out and they leave it.
Right.
And if you cut them back, you can get a second turn out of that plant.
They can, okay.
And where the annual salvia looks very similar.
Right.
But that will continuously bloom throughout the season,
right.
And it won't come back next year.
Right, right. I've had an issue with salvia, not from you guys, but I've bought salvia in the past. Again, I like to do the purple, so I find something that I really like. Salvia, for me, sometimes towards the end of the season, sort of almost faded away into nothing.
It all depends on which variety. There's a few different annual varieties.
Right. It didn't dry out. It just sort of, like, disappeared,
right.
If that makes any sense.
It does. There's the Victoria Blue Salvia, which is the most popular annual salvia.
Right.
Where it has the tiny blue stalks that come out of it.
Right.
There also is another variety. It's more variety specific. I'm not sure which one off the top of my head would do that. But, again, it all depends on the weather towards the end of the season.
Right.
The one thing that we're learning, and it changes from year to year because we have wet seasons, dry seasons.
Right.
And not to change the subject right away. Like, for instance, this year it was a wet early season.
Right.
But now it's been drying out.
So oh, my God. It's been very dry, yeah.
It's been very dry. So a lot of our flowers and perennials they're a little confused on what's going on. So, for instance, white petunias haven't been doing very well this month.
Oh, really?
No, a lot of phone calls, questions are basically what happened to my wave petunias. Basically, it's cool at nighttime now, and it's, you know, we just had a rainstorm.
Right.
So pretty much August tends to be the finish for wave petunias.
You know, I always have a problem with August because I'll put my plants in around Memorial Day, and they'll look very nice, and then we'll go through June. June looks great. July, everything seems to peak in July, and then I have this, like, downtime in August, and I don't know if people go through that or not. Where some of my plants, maybe I'll forget to water a day or two and they dry out a little bit or things dry up, or it seems to come to an end of a cycle. And sometimes I find myself in late August running to a garden center and just popping some new things into my pots because it almost looks like I don't have anything before I switch over to the mums for fall.
That is true. That is actually happening right now. A lot of people just come in for fill-ins, like you said, Rich, a bare spot here. I just need to touch up my garden.
Right.
And that is pretty normal this time of year, just due to the weather change and it being so, you know, one extreme, so hot one day, and then, you know, you might get a cool night the other day, so.
Exactly.
The one thing that is new and upcoming that I could recommend to your listeners that we've had great success with, and my landscape contractors have, is sun patients. Those have, they look like a New Guinea patient, and they've been doing phenomenal throughout the summer,
right,
all the way into the fall.
Right, right, right. No, I've seen sun patients. Unfortunately, I, as in everybody, my problem spots always happen to be the shady spots, not the sunny spots, so I can't do them. But I see the sun patients a lot in yellow, which is such a strange color for them, but they're quite different, and they're very striking.
Correct.
Okay, we're going to do a quick news, and we'll be back. Can I ask that you'll stay with us? I have a couple more questions for you.
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back with more of Modern Design.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Protests continued in Ferguson last night, but they were more subdued. AP correspondent Ted Sheffrey says there were some minor incidents, though.
Some protesters got in a vehicle and were chanting and waving a flag, and they parked in the middle of the road and refused to move it. And then the police moved in and made the driver take the vehicle back into one of the nearby parking lots.
Meanwhile, armed militias are patrolling the streets, and some residents aren't easy about it. Drums played as activists push for an independent probe of a prosecutor's handling of the shooting death of Michael Brown. They are appealing a judge's ruling last month that tossed out their lawsuit. An ISIS affiliate in Egypt appears to have killed a Croatian man. They posted pics online, but the Croatian prime minister says the death has not yet been confirmed. The man was working in Cairo when he was kidnapped, and it raises concerns among businesses who have workers in the area. This is USA Headline News.
Do you have trouble remembering names or where you left your keys? Ever feel like you're just in a mental fog? Over 140 million Americans over 40 suffer age-related memory loss. That's because as we age, our brains stop producing vital neural peptides, making it harder to retain important information. In fact, by age 50, the average person has lost half their short-term memory capacity. That's why a team of neuroscientists created Cebria, a medical miracle shown in a double-blind clinical trial to dramatically improve short-term memory in just 30 days. Better memory and clarity can boost your career and help you enjoy time with your kids and grandkids. Call 800-413-8643 now to receive a full 30-day supply of Cebria risk-free. Dramatically improve your memory with Cebria. Just call 800-413-8643. That's 800-413-8643. 800-413-8643.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I've been an interior designer for the past 18 years. And if you want to come visit me at my shop, I'm located at 1 U.S. Highway 31 in Flemington, New Jersey. My phone number is 908-884-0770. Specializing in all sorts of furniture pieces, art, accessories, and so on. Or if you'd like to come, just talk to me with your design ideas and suggestions, I'd be glad to meet you. And I'm very fortunate again to have as my guest today is Jerry from Hyonis Nurseries. Jerry, can you tell our listeners again, if they're just tuning in now, where you are located?
We're located at 4 Coddington Road in White House Station, New Jersey, right off of Route 22.
And your phone number?
908-534-7710.
And I know you have, in researching you during the week, I did look up a website. Can you give us your website?
Yes, our website is Hyonis, H-I-O-N-I-S, greenhouses.com.
Okay, terrific. So we were talking about the big thing in our Hunterdon County is plants that will thrive or survive, if you will, at least with the deer amongst us. And we went through a number of plants. I want to change gears just a little bit, although I'll certainly go back to that because that's kind of important. I want to talk about preparation of soil for plantings. And I've never been quite clear on what's going to give my plants their best chance before I go ahead and go out to the nursery, such as yourself, and make an investment in plants for the season.
Well, if you're working with beds, you always want to make sure you till the beds first, you know, loosen up that soil.
Loosen up the soil, get rid of rocks and so on?
Exactly.
Okay.
You want a nice loose soil, that way when you plant your plants in there, you want basically your roots to basically take off, and that way they get established much quicker.
Right.
Another thing a lot of people forget to do is you want to recharge that soil and basically either put a granular. I would recommend an Osmocote or granular fertilizer. That way, anytime you water or rainfall, it gets a slow release of nutrients.
Wow.
And basically, if you have to, depending on what you're planting, put some fresh topsoil or garden soil in with your new plants.
Well, I imagine that new soil, that new topsoil, garden soil, has a lot of nutrients in it also.
Correct, and it has a proper pH, which a lot of people, they don't test their soils beforehand, and you want to, you know, new garden soils always have the proper pH for those plants to take off.
That's a very important thing, because, you know, it can be an investment. You know, when you have big gardens, it can be an investment, so you want to, you know, see them thrive and really enjoy the season. It goes by so fast, especially with the annuals.
Sure.
The other question I want to ask you is about watering. Now, I heard, and I don't know if this is a wives' tale or not, but I've always been told to not water your plants during the height of the sun or during the day, that the watering should always be done at night or in the morning. Is this true or not necessarily true?
This is true. You never want to water when the plants are stressed.
Okay.
Basically causes root disease. The best time is always if you have irrigation.
Okay.
Always do it early morning.
Right.
I always tell people if it's during a hot spell, you have to irrigate at night. Do it, but do it sparingly, because most plants don't want wet feet. That's what we call it in our industry.
Isn't that funny? And to tell you the truth, I'm so early out the door in the morning on design projects, and I'm doing construction right now on two homes, that I don't have the time in the morning. So I usually almost always water at night.
And again, like I say, if you're able to do it in the morning,
right,
I would recommend the morning first.
Morning. No, that's good to know. I think, you know, our listeners are really getting a wealth of knowledge today. I have to tell you, as I am certainly writing down all this stuff, because a lot of things that I thought were true aren't. So that's quite good.
I'm glad I'm able to help. But that's the number one mistake that a lot of people make, is just watering at the wrong times.
Right.
And, you know, if it's not the end of the world if you have to do it once, mm-hmm. twice. You know, but just try to make it a consistent thing where, you know, make it first priority in the morning. But again, we're all very busy people. If you miss a day here and there, it's not the end of the world.
But don't you think, Jerry, that the biggest fail, and that's what I believe in, and you're really an expert. I'm not. I'm a gardener by hobby, and I help people because I do staging, and I want to make sure yards look good. But don't you think the biggest fail that most people have is they don't water their annuals enough?
That's usually the number one problem. Most people forget the water.
Especially in pots, because they're so susceptible in pots because they don't have a big area. They kind of fry.
That's true. And the number one issue that when people bring plants back that are all shriveled up, they'll water them before they bring it. But potting soil it needs moisture to hold the water. If it dries out completely, when you water, it doesn't hold in the moisture anymore. So
right.
That's why you need to be consistent with your watering.
With the watering, and just be consistent and do it in the morning. Well, that's good information. I want to talk a little bit about, we talked a little bit about annuals and some basic flowers, but I want to talk about shrubs, if you will, or base plantings that are good in a deer prone environment. I have some general things that have worked for me. As I say, I moved out to 100 in 2000. I built my first house and have moved on since then to a different house, but I really got to see what worked and didn't work for me. And for me, some of the base plantings that worked were not necessarily my favorite plants, but the deer stayed away from them, and I had good results with them. And one of the base plantings that I did was spirea.
That is true. That does very well around here.
And why is that? Is it good for our zone or...
It is good for our zone. The one number one thing, obviously, is the deer stay away from the spirea.
I don't think it's the prettiest plant. It doesn't give you a big flower, but as the plant grows, the magnification of the small flowers come together, and you do get this burst of color.
That is true.
Right.
The one thing I always tell people, the best plants, look around your neighbor's yards.
Right.
You know, I know a lot of people want to do something different, but the best trial is basically see what's thriving in other people's yards.
Oh, I think you're so right. I tell you, I shouldn't say this. I'll get myself in trouble. But, you know, today everybody's phone is their camera, and they actually take great pictures. I always have that with me. And when I pass, because I do this for a living, because people are constantly using me as a resource, what works, what looks beautiful, what can I do? And when I see something that works in somebody's yard as I'm passing by, or, you know, a door color I like, or a shutter or anything, I photograph it. I just and grab it. And I think that's really smart, because you see what works, you know, what's thriving. Now, spirea, I stayed away from it for a while because I saw it a lot in a hot pink color, but I think it does come in other colors. In fact, recently, I think I saw it somewhere in purple.
It does come in purple. It also comes in white.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of different varieties.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's just one of those plants that it's not the most exciting plant, but it works well in our area.
And to mix it with other things for a variety, because you certainly want to have your base plantings have a mix. I think it's good to throw in the mix. Now, another one that worked for me well, and probably my single favorite plant, and people are going to think this is awfully boring, is I love boxwoods. I love the architecture of boxwoods. I love their horrible smell. I love everything about a boxwood. I love when they're shaped beautifully. I like when a patio or a walkway is ended and it's surrounded by maybe six boxwoods that are beautifully sculpted. And I really enjoy them. I like them. And when the winter time comes, I'll cut some of them and I'll throw them in my, I like to do mixed greens in my pots because I'll do pots for people. I just can't get enough of them. What's your consensus on boxwoods in our environment?
Well, I feel the same way about boxwood.
Uh-huh.
Most people feel this, say they are, you know, boring and I see them everywhere, but they're actually a very simple and elegant plant to put in the yard. You do many things. You can, like you said, sculpt them. You
right.
can hedge them.
Right.
So, and the deer stay away from them, and they stay green all year round. So it's one of those plants that, yes, it maybe doesn't have a flower, but it gives character to a yard, especially if you plant it the proper way.
Yeah, I call it architecture. All of a sudden, though, I have one or two of them in my own yard that are getting little brown spots, and I don't know where that's coming from. And they're not new. They've been planted as base plantings at the end of the driveway for a number of years. And out of the blue, I'm seeing some brown spots. I don't know what that could be from.
There's been some research we've been hearing from some nurseries. It could be a fungus problem.
Mm.
We're not sure exactly, but we always tell people if any signs of browning or anything, you always want to treat with a fungicide.
Fungicide,
you know,
okay.
Kind of just help the roots and maybe, you know, better to treat it earlier than when it's too late.
Right. Another one that works for me probably better than anything I've ever planted in my life as a base plant or as a perennial is buddleia or butterfly bush. In my property, they have just soared, and I took 1 gallon pots that turned into trees within a matter of 2 years. It was unbelievable. So, what's your thought on butterfly bush?
Butterfly bush is another great deer tolerant plant that you see in a lot of people's yards.
Right.
Like you said, just be mindful of how vigorous the plant will get. They do have dwarf varieties.
Oh, they do. See, that's something that I didn't know because, you know, I took a 1 gallon pot, or actually I had a guy 10 years ago when I moved to the house that I live in now, and he did, you know, other plantings mixed in with the butterfly bushes, but I didn't know there were dwarf qualities, and where everything else sort of did its thing or didn't do its thing, they took off so much that my garden quickly became out of proportion because the butterfly bushes, really, they turned into trees very fast.
That is true. The Proof of Winter, I believe, came out with a new variety called Lo and Behold about 4 or 5 years ago.
Wow.
So your local garden center should carry it. We do carry it in the springtime. We don't have it this time of year, but it's, I think the size, it only gets about 30 inches in height. So it's very controllable and manageable plant.
I don't think I enjoy a plant more than I do butterfly bushes because once they do come into season, which for me was probably around the third week in July, I will have butterfly bushes with beautiful blooms now on my table outside on Labor Day, straight through and lots of color. And the backyard now for the month of August is just filled with every kind of butterfly you can think of. And the deer don't go near them. I think they're great. The only thing I could say about them, there are two things. One is that they, again, can get big very quickly and overtake the rest of your garden. And number two is that I did have, when we had the Superstorm Sandy, I lost almost all of them, actually. They died. But from the ashes, if you will, from the ruins, every single plant regenerated itself with a new plant.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, that is true during Superstorm Sandy. Many people lost a lot of their perennials.
Right.
They just didn't make it through. That I didn't hear that. They were still, so they did come back for you.
Well, what happened was, and I don't know if this is just the nature of buddleia, and if I'm saying the words wrong, please let me know. You know, you read the tags, you don't know what they say. But the butterfly bushes, I lost them all, which was very upsetting. And then the spring came, and then I started to see from, these mangled branches. I mean, so big that I had to cut them with a Sawzall. I mean, that's how big they were. I cut them down to the absolute base, and every single one of them had new shoots. And I would say that my shoots this year are already about, I don't know, about 6 feet tall and loaded with flowers. Not like they were before, not trees like they were before, but where I would probably want them to be when I planted them 10 years ago.
Right.
So do they normally regenerate like that? There's not one that didn't regenerate itself.
Well, again, the butterfly bush is a very hardy plant. A lot of people make the mistake thinking, jumping the gun and ripping plants out from the roots, thinking they're finished. But they do.
You are so right. Oh, my God. Please tell our listeners that again. I can't tell you how many people do when they pull everything in. I said, no, you didn't give it enough time.
Maybe one person a week comes in telling me, they showed me pictures of the plant. And yeah, there's times where you'll lose all your leaves, but give it a chance. I tell them, feed the plant. Give it a chance before you rip the plant out, because it's very hard to replace something
right.
that's been established for many years.
Sure.
Most of my customers, they go, I'll give it a shot. You know, I'll tell them to treat with fungicide, insecticide. Maybe there's a fungus in the roots, a bug on it. And a lot of the times we're able to salvage those plants.
Jerry, I just have two quick commercials. If you hang with us, I'd love you to close out the segment with us, because this has been unbelievably interesting. Can you hang with us a few more minutes?
Sure.
Okay, very good. We'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
And we are back with Modern Design. I'm Richard Scuderi, and my guest today happens to be Jerry from Hyonas Nurseries in Reddington, New Jersey. And he has wonderful suggestions for us. Probably the most information I've ever gotten for landscaping from an interview I've done. So thank you so much for that. When we were last talking, we were talking about Budleiger butterfly bushes. But I want to go on with some more base plantings that you would recommend to be somewhat deer resistant. I tell you, I had originally started out 15 years ago with the typical I built a brand new house, so I had to put some base plantings in. And I started out with rhododendrons and azaleas, and they were, you know, quickly munched up. And someone told me to get rid of my rhododendrons and then switch to cherry laurels, that they had a similar look, but the cherry laurels were less attractive to deer, but mine got eaten up. Is that true or not true?
It's, again, one of those plants that in some areas they do well where the deer stay away from, but yeah, I have heard the deer nibbling on the cherry laurels.
Yeah, and I like them too. And I love rhododendrons. I like when rhododendrons kind of get leggy, which is probably not good for the plant. I just like that look, it's not worth it because I never wind up getting to the flower, unfortunately, or the flowers just bloom on top and everything else gets eaten. What else is a good base plant that you would recommend?
For a shady area like a rhododendron, I would put an Andromeda. Does very well.
Okay,
do get blooms, and it's one of those plants that constantly changes. You get blooms in the early spring, and then in the fall it turns bright red.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I appreciate the Andromeda more for the foliage than I do for that. Now, the Andromeda gets that little, like, berry-like thing that's white, doesn't it, on it?
Yeah, the flower, yes.
Right, but I'm trying to equate it. It doesn't quite look like a flower per se, but it is the flower.
Correct.
Right. What else?
Another base planting that the deer will stay away from.
There's not many.
There's not many. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of people have with the junipers, the cypress, the gold moth, the cypress.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that at all.
They basically, you see them in a lot of people's yards. It's the yellow foliage, and it basically looks like they call them gold mops.
Okay, gold mops.
Gold mop cypress. Deer stay away from them. They are one of those plants. If you let them grow, they will get vigorous.
Right.
But they're easily maintained. You can prune them back. But they're a good low shrub that you can see in a lot of people's architecture in the front of the yard.
Right, right, right. You know, most of my clients complain, and I may have mentioned this earlier in the broadcast, that they don't have any problem in their sunny areas, but people that have shade gardens, and unfortunately I have, unfortunately for some reason, I have trees around, which is terrific, and it gives you shade, but the bad part is it gives you shade. So in those areas, that to find plants that are now both deer resistant and also will thrive in shade, there's just so few and far between, it's very difficult. And I love the plant Black-Eyed Susan.
Yeah.
And most of my gardening is lots of purples and silvers and whites. So the pop of yellow just looks beautiful there. So, but for me, I did not have much success with Black-Eyed Susan. They really just get eaten up. In fact, they didn't even get past a certain stage. As soon as the flower came, they were gone. I happened to have around my pool, I have a planting bed that you'd have to almost walk through the pool to get through. So I have Black-Eyed Susans there, but nowhere else in my property. And I've always wanted them. And a client of mine in Pittstown showed me a plant, which I thought was a Black-Eyed Susan. It had a Black-Eyed Susan-like flower, but it was called a Leguloro. Are you familiar with one?
Ligularia, I believe.
Okay, Ligularia. And she and they self-seed, and she gave me some from her property. And I thought, oh, my God, this is magic. I have Black-Eyed Susans again. And I put them in a shady area, and from the first year, they took off, and they gave me an interesting plant with a nice foliage, and then they gave me sort of a yellowy-orange flower that contrasted with all my purple. What could you tell me about them? Because I'd never heard of them before.
I'm glad you mentioned Ligularia. It's one of those plants. I am very familiar with it. It's a great plant for the shade. It does look like a Black-Eyed Susan.
Right.
And it does reseed itself, so it does spread, so it'll cover a big area, which a lot of people have in their homes where there's big shade trees covering an area.
To me, I think I found the magic flower, because the hardest thing to compensate with is a perennial that's shade-loving that deer don't eat. And this has all those qualities, I think.
It does. It really does. And it's a great plant that, like you said, a lot of people don't know about it. A lot of garden centers should carry it. They might not, but it's just one. It doesn't look interesting in the beginning.
No, it doesn't, does it? It doesn't look, people, that's what happens. I always say I'm have my cart with this dumb ageratum and these plants that look like nothing, and people have these beautiful carts with all this color, but I say, aha, who's going to have the better garden in August? I am.
Exactly.
Right.
So, I mean, sometimes you have to give it a shot. It might not have that sex appeal when you look at it in the pot, but once you plant it in the garden, give it a chance, and you'll be amazed on what you see.
Now, let me switch gears just a little bit because I want to cover anything. We only have about 4 minutes left, and I really want to get as much as possible to cover everything that our listeners have asked me for. One of the things that I purchased from you guys that I thought were unbelievable is I bought, which I don't normally do, I brought a couple of strawberry pots for my plants for my deck. And I put them in just a regular pot, not a strawberry pot. They were, and I have very full sun on my deck. I wish I had full sun on my pool, but I have full sun on my deck. The most delicious strawberries I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I don't know if it's because of the variety that I purchased, or they just were so flavorful. I ate them right off the vine. But I noticed with strawberries, and this is something that you maybe need to maybe tell our listeners and myself, the strawberry never got very big. When it reached a certain point, if I didn't pick it, it started to die. What's that all about?
With the strawberry plants, I have a little background on them.
Okay.
It is variety specific. There is a lot of strawberry plants that you buy at other garden centers or maybe a Home Depot.
Right.
A lot of people tell me the biggest problem they have is they start the fruit and then they never develop into a big mature strawberry.
That's what this did. It gave me beautiful flowers, too, in the beginning when it had flowers. It made fruit right away. In fact, when I bought it because I saw other people in there. My cart had no color in it. So I said, you know, when I was ringing out at your place, I said, give me a couple of strawberry plants. At least it had white flowers on it. So I took that and I put that in my pots and it looked nice. And I got strawberries right away. But they're delicious, but they don't get to the size of an actual strawberry. And I thought maybe that'd be something that I'm doing wrong.
Not per se. They need ideal growing areas.
Do strawberries do better in the ground than in pots?
In the ground, yes.
That's what I thought the problem was.
You can grow them in pots. A lot of people grow them in hanging baskets because they do vine down.
Right.
But their ideal area is in the beds, you know, that way the roots can expand and get the nutrients.
My fear with putting strawberries in the ground is that they'll be just all over the place. In fact, in my beds, I have these little trailing things in my beds that look like strawberries, but they're like minuscule, like the size of a pencil eraser, and they have red strawberries on them. So I don't know what they are. It almost looks like some sort of a wild strawberry. And as I'm pulling out my weeds, I'm always pulling that out. Mm-hmm. Is that just sort of a wild strawberry or something else?
I'm guessing. I'm not too sure.
Have you ever heard of that before?
Oh, a lot of people tell me a lot of things that come out of their ground, and that's why it's always good to just kind of rototill and clean out whatever is in that ground.
Exactly.
And plant fresh stuff.
Two more questions for you because we're almost at the end. When is the best time to cut back our plants so we have a good season? I made a big mistake. I have, and here's a plant that we didn't get to mention was a Russian sage. I have very thriving Russian sage in my yard, but I didn't cut it back at the beginning of the season. And I look at my bank and all these other places that have Russian sage, and their Russian sage is standing upright and looks beautiful. Mine is flopping all over the place. It's growing like mad. It's just thriving, but it looks a mess. What's the deal with like cutting back plants in general and, let's say, Russian sage?
Each plant is different. Uh-huh. I wouldn't want to say cut your whole garden back at a certain time, but a plant like Russian sage, if you don't cut it back in the beginning of the season, it tends to get leggy.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, here I have all these blooms, these beautiful purple blooms that the deer don't touch, but it's a mess.
Right. I mean, there's other plants that is, you know, a lot of people make the mistake of hydrangeas. Well, they'll still cut them too early and they cut the buds off.
Right.
So that's another plant that you would have to cut later in the season.
No, I know to stay away of hydrangea for that reason, but in general, is cutting time before bloom, is that what it is? Is it early spring, or is there a generalization with that?
Usually, depending on what it is and when their blooms are, I like to prune back in the end of August to beginning September.
Oh, okay. All right, so about now, right? But pretty soon, in a couple weeks.
Yeah, a lot of people should clean up their yards.
Okay.
Not, you know, if they're blooming, you don't obviously want to, but the bloomed out plants, yes, you want to cut them back, get them prepared for the next season.
Jerry, believe it or not, we're at the end of the segment. You have been such a terrific guest. I'm sad that this is over because I've learned so much, and I'm definitely going to come in. Can you give our listeners one more time your information? Because I don't think enough of you know that this great resource in Hunterdon County is out there. Give us your information one more time.
Okay, the name of the company is Hyonis Greenhouses. We're located at 4 Connington Road, White House Station, New Jersey. And we are a 10-acre greenhouse facility that we grow all our own annuals and perennials at our site. And I want to thank you again, Rich, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much, and I'll be down to see you. Thank you very much. Okay. Alrighty then. So we've learned a lot today about plants, and I thank Jerry for being my guest. We're definitely going to get him on again. And until I see you next week, have a good week, everybody, and get out there and enjoy the next couple of days. They're going to be quite beautiful. Take care. Bye-bye.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Protests continued in Ferguson last night, but they were more subdued. AP correspondent Ted Sheffrey says there were some minor incidents, though.
Some protesters got in a vehicle and were chanting and waving a flag, and they parked in the middle of the road and refused to move it. And then the police moved in and made the driver take the vehicle back into one of the nearby parking lots.
Meanwhile, armed militias are patrolling the streets, and some residents are uneasy about it. Drums played as activists push for an independent probe of a prosecutor's handling of the shooting death of Michael Brown. They are appealing a judge's ruling last month that tossed out their lawsuit. An ISIS affiliate in Egypt appears to have killed a Croatian man. They posted pics online, but the Croatian prime minister says the death has not yet been confirmed. The man was working in Cairo when he was kidnapped, and it raises concerns among businesses who have workers in the area. This is USA Headline News.
Bob was miserable. His website was invisible, buried 3, 4, 5 pages deep. No one could find Bob's site, not his neighbor, 6 employees, or even the dog. Then Bob found Tizzable.